We read this morning from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Andrew. That was really beautifully read. So I'll invite Elliot up. And actually, I might just invite Sophie up as well, just so that you can see Elliot and Sophie together. So Sophie is Elliot's wife. And it might be nice, and these two look after the youth in the life of the church. And Elliot is going to be speaking to us. So is it okay if I just pray and pray for you both? So Lord, thank you for these two. Thank you for the work they do at Christ Church. Thank you for all the young people that they look after. And Lord, I just pray for Elliot today as he brings your word to us. And I pray that we'll have soft hearts and listening ears to receive the words that he has prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning. Whoa, it's loud. I'm almost becoming a regular here. So, the parable of the Good Samaritan, really famous passage. If you were to describe it in one word, how would you describe it? Just shout out. Charity? Mercy?
Compassion.
Yeah, compassion. Yeah, all really good words. We're not much of a shouty church, are we? So I just thought I'd ask. If you feel the rumblings of a hallelujah or an amen, feel free. as you all quite rightly know, the broad brushstrokes of this parable are about charity and mercy and compassion. And I remember hearing this parable. I think I was in primary school, and I wasn't a Christian. I was from a Christian background. My school wasn't Christian, but the culture around us is familiar with the Good Samaritan, the parable. There was actually an American study in the 90s that happened that correlated acts of compassion and charity with knowledge of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Quite an interesting study. And it didn't necessarily have any connection with church or a religious faith, just that they knew of that story. And I'm sure many of you are aware of the charity, the Samaritans, the phone line charity that listen to distressed people who call up. I actually worked for them for about a year, and yeah, it's an amazing organization. So, what can I bring that is new to this passage that we're all so familiar with? I think, at least on the surface, I just want to pick out the obvious theme of showing love and compassion and charity to those outside of our social boundaries, whether that be culture, race, religion, gender, whichever aspect you want to pick. That's a broad brushstroke of the parable, is showing love to those that we wouldn't normally show love to. And I think an emphasis as well is that every human being is of equal value. Everyone's as valuable as one another. And in a time where our world is so divided, with culture and nations and nationalism on the rise, these teachings are so important. But as we dig a little deeper, we find so much more. Maybe some of you are aware of this, but the Jews and the Samaritans hated one another. They were enemies, and the Samaritans were seen as kind of half-breed, impure people that weren't really the nation of Israel, and the Jews hated them. So it's interesting that Jesus uses a Samaritan in the story. But it also has echoes to what a commentator calls a sister text or a co-text in Luke 6, 27 to 34, where it talks about not only loving people in general, but loving your enemies, loving those who do you wrong, and even in the face of people doing wrong to you, actually going out of your way and blessing that person, doing good to them. Which is a remarkable teaching, and even though we might be familiar with it, putting it into practice is quite the extra challenge. But as I read a passage of scripture, I often try to imagine myself in different roles in the passage, whether that be people in the parable or people in the narrative. And I was interested in the expert of the law in this exchange. And as I kind of imagined myself in his shoes, I was wondering what his thoughts were, what his motives were. And as we see from his question, he asks a really broad, simple question. How do I inherit eternal life? Now, this is an expert in the law, so he would have been familiar with the answer. He would have been familiar with the law. And because it says in verse 25, I think, he was seeking to test Jesus. This wasn't a humble approach to Jesus, wanting an answer from him or a relational exchange. He was wanting to suss out Jesus. He was wanting to test him and figure out what type of teacher he was, maybe. Maybe he wanted to figure out whether he agreed with him or not. Jesus humors him for a bit, and he answers him with the greatest of all commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Ironically, Jesus was not being treated like a neighbor, as this teacher of the law was trying to test him. And he said another question, which the text says he wanted to justify himself, so he asked another question. He said, "Who is my neighbor?" Now, Jesus changes tact, and he doesn't just answer what the lawgiver or the law expert would have already known. He answers in a parable. And as we are familiar with a lot of the New Testament, Jesus often answers in a parable. And this is remarkable. It's a way of communicating many things all at once. I'm sure you're familiar with the phrase, when you're talking about a picture, it communicates 1,000 words, or a picture says 1,000 words. And it's the same with a parable. There are so many levels of meaning. There are so many things that it's communicating. And I want to focus on a few that Jesus highlights. And as he explains this parable, it's amazing how this gets under the skin, gets under the weapons of the expert and of the law. Now, in the parable, the religious elite don't fare very well. And since he is an expert of the law, it seems quite pointed. The priests and the Levites, they not only avoid the victim, but they actually pass by on the opposite side. They go to an effort to avoid the person. I wonder if we could have had a conversation with them, whether they would have tried to justify themselves, just like the expert of the law. Whether they would have said, this is a really dangerous road and robbings often happen here. It was called, the road was actually called the Bloody Pass, because it was so meandering and there were so many hiding places, people could get robbed at any corner. So maybe they suspected it was a trap. Or maybe it was a religious duty. Now we know that teachers of the law, that priests and Levites, weren't allowed to touch dead people. Maybe they thought, oh, this is a dead person, we'll pass by the other side. Maybe it was fear that kept them back from doing what God wants in this parable. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't focus on those things. What Jesus focuses on is what the priest and the Levite neglected to do. But the expert in the law kind of does Jesus' work for him in his response to Jesus. And equally, he doesn't just give a straightforward answer that says, I'll just reread it, sorry. It says, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" Which, funnily enough, is exactly what he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And he just kind of retorts it back to the expert in the law. And the expert replies, "The one who had mercy on him." Now, again, he could have just said the Samaritan. I'm assuming he means the Samaritan in this passage. But by saying the one who has mercy, there is so much more loaded into the text, especially as an expert in the law. I wonder if he was alluding to Hosea 6:6, which says, which says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." This statement focuses on what God really wants, not a religious duty, not just a priestly office, but on what God's will is. The expert in the law seemed to be self-interested in this exchange. His question was asking Jesus about eternal life for himself. He was seeking to justify himself and his own righteousness. But we know that through the rest of the New Testament, we are not justified by our own actions. or we're not justified by our own ability to observe the law or to do religious ritual. So even though Jesus humours him and answers him with the law was only ever to make us realise our need for Jesus, our need to come to him humbly, not seeking to justify ourselves, not seeking to analyse God, not seeking to test Jesus, but to come to him humbly to receive eternal life. It's his death and resurrection that grants us eternal life. We can't climb into heaven. We can't climb into being at one with God. We receive it. Now, this completely frees us from trying to get into God's good books or trying to attain the law or trying to achieve an adherence to the law. It actually frees us to do what God really wants. It frees us to do his will. This is exemplified again in Hebrews 10:5-7, which is talking about Christ. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire," there it is again, "but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" Now, as the perfect human, Jesus shows an example for us. And in Romans 12:2, it says, "We have bodies that are living sacrifices to God." Again, not to try and achieve the law, but to be free to do his will, to do what he really wants. To be an expression of the kingdom of heaven. And this brings us to the culmination of the passage where Jesus affirms what his desire is. "Go and do likewise." It echoes Matthew 7:24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock." And also in James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And so as Christians, as followers of Christ, the real blessing is being doers of the word, not hearers only. So I wonder if we can spend some time in contemplation and prayer and to ask Jesus some questions of our own in humility. Why don't we close your eyes if you feel comfortable? I just want you to ask Jesus, "What opportunities do I have to show mercy to another?" So pray that to him now. What opportunities do I have to show mercy? And it might look like forgiving someone that you're holding a grudge against. It might mean doing something for someone that doesn't deserve it. Helping someone out, a stranger maybe. But see what comes to mind. Father, thank you so much for all of the things that you've reminded us of this morning. And thank you that you put into our minds where we can be merciful and who we can be merciful towards. Because we want to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because we are truly blessed when we do your will, Jesus. Amen.